John 17, we'll be reading verses 25 and 26. John 17, verses 25 and 26. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great mercy and your love. We thank you, Father, for the privilege we have of coming into your presence, of acknowledging that you are God. We thank you, Father, for the beauty of your creation and for all the gifts that you give us, for the gift of life, for the hope that we have because of Jesus. And Father, I pray that as we're gathered here this morning, that you would be honored. I pray that your Holy Spirit would move to bring understanding, to reveal your truth to us. I pray you'd set a guard over my lips, that I would speak those things that are right and true, and that you would be exalted among us today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And so Jesus here, in his prayer the night before the crucifixion, closes the prayer with these words, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, the Apostle John tells us that God is love. Actually, what he writes in the Greek is God is agape, a Greek word for the fullest expression of love possible, a love that is selfless, sacrificial, acting for the good of another. This agape love isn't simply descriptive of the triune God. This love is at the very essence of what it means for God to be God. And the world doesn't know God in this way, Jesus tells us. His prayer to the Father in John chapter 17 shares this message with us. The Apostle John will use similar words in John chapter 1, verse 10, in speaking of the lack of understanding that people had of Jesus Christ. John writes, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. So what does Jesus mean when He says of the Father, the world has not known you? As far back as there is evidence for human beings, there is evidence of religion and worship. Anthropologists have discovered this universal constant about human beings, that no matter where they look in the world or what time period, there is this always present recognition of the divine. So how then can Jesus say, O righteous Father, the world has not known you? It's because there's a difference between knowing that there is something beyond us, a sense of the divine, and knowing the only one who is a true and ultimate expression of the divine. The first kind of knowing simply refers to the recognition that something exists, whereas the second kind of knowing, the kind to which Jesus was referring, refers to a genuine relationship with the one who exists, in this case, the one true God. For example, I know there's a person named Bill Gates who is the founder of Microsoft. I know there's a person named Alex Ovechkin who is a hockey player with the Washington Capitals. I know there's a person named Eminem who's a rock star. But I don't really know Bill Gates or Alex Ovechkin or Eminem. And that's what Jesus means when he prays, O righteous Father, the world has not known you. The people may have acknowledged the divine. They may have even discerned through creation as to some aspects of God's character and divine nature, but they have never truly known God. And that says a lot about the world's religions, that at their core, they are more about the cultural perceptions of God than they are about God. That they really say more about the worshipers than they say about the God or gods they claim to worship. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in his letter to the Romans, chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even God's eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, and here Paul's talking about knowing a higher power exists, not knowing God in a relational sense. Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. That's how the Apostle Paul sums up the world's religions. And this despite the fact that the evidence as to who God is was built into creation. Since the creation of the world, Paul writes, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Paul is referring here to what theologians call general revelation. There are two ways that God reveals Himself, through what's called general revelation and special revelation. General revelation is the evidence as to who God is that He has built into creation. Special revelation is when God moves even more specifically to reveal Himself. Let me go back to one of the people I mentioned earlier when I was trying to explain the difference between knowing a person exists and actually knowing that person. Eminem is a rock star who writes his own music and lyrics, and there are truths about Eminem that come across through his songs. Even though you may have never known Eminem personally, you can discover more about him through the words and music of his songs. And in fact, if you were really a fan of Eminem, you would eventually get to the place where you would be able to recognize songs written by him even without being told in advance that they'd been written by him. And that's true of any product of creative genius. Whether it's music or painting or sculpting or writing or architecture, the fingerprints of the artist are on his works regardless of the venue in which his art is created. I once saw an interview with a woman who had unknowingly purchased a painting done by Jackson Pollock for $10 at a rummage sale. She'd purchased the painting to give to a friend, but before she gave it to her friend, someone mentioned to her that she ought to have the painting examined by an art expert because it looked like a Jackson Pollock. So even though the painting was not signed by the artist, art experts were able to verify that indeed it was a Jackson Pollock, a painting worth hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of dollars, that she'd bought for $10. That's an example of general revelation. Things that are created reveal the identities of their creators, not only who the creators are, but even aspects of their personality. And the Bible tells us that that truth regarding artists and their creation is also true of the ultimate artist and his creation. Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." God's revelation of Himself that is evident in creation. On the other hand, special revelation is a more specific and intentional revealing of one person to another. For example, a movie was produced called 8 Mile that was based on the life of Eminem. So you could learn more about Eminem, you could get to know him better if you saw that biography of his life. Or if Eminem were to write and tell you things about himself, if he were to begin honestly opening up to you personally about his experiences and thoughts and feelings, you would know him even better, even if you had not yet personally met him. And that's what God is doing through the Bible. He moves to reveal himself more specifically to us, in part because we weren't picking up on what he'd revealed to us through creation. I want you to listen to some of the specific truths about God that we are told in the Bible. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So we're told here that God is eternal. No beginning, no ending. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? So we're told that God never gets tired. There's never too much for him to do. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. So we're told that God is good. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So we're told there that God is above us. He is transcendent. He is beyond our understanding, ultimately. Isaiah 45, 18. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. God alone is the creator. Isaiah 45, 19. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. So here we're told that God wants to reveal himself to us and that he's righteous. Psalm 104, 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. God is great. Psalm 136, verses 1 through 4. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him alone who does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. And so we're told that God is merciful. How do we know these truths about God? Because God specifically tells us these truths about himself. We don't have to guess based on what we see in creation. God specifically tells us. Yet despite this revelation, Jesus still says, O righteous Father, the world has not known you. Even though God's identity and nature had been sewn into the fabric of creation, and even though he had specifically spoken about himself through the Hebrew Scriptures, our Old Testament, the world still did not know him. They knew he existed, or that some kind of supreme power existed, but they didn't truly know God. But I have known you, Jesus goes on to say in John 17, verse 25. And these have known that you sent me, speaking of his followers. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it. Jesus Christ himself is the ultimate revelation of God. In Hebrews chapter 1, the writer tells us, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. The Apostle John puts the same truth this way in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, we're told that Jesus Christ is the express image of the invisible God. In chapter 2, verse 9, that in Jesus Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. And by the way, this wasn't just what other people claimed about Jesus. This is what Jesus said about Himself. In John chapter 8, Israel's religious leaders are challenging Jesus. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? They ask Him in verse 53. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that He is your God. Yet you have not known Him. But I know Him. And if I say I do not know Him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know Him and keep His word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to Him, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. He's using there the name of God given to Moses. Before Abraham existed, I existed, Jesus says. Then they took up stones to throw at Him. You know why they took up stones to throw at Him? Because Jesus was claiming to be God. Then they took up stones to throw at Him, but Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. In John chapter 12, verse 45, Jesus said, He who sees me sees Him who sent me. Then in John chapter 14, Jesus makes the same claim. Jesus is speaking to one of His disciples, Thomas, and He says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know Him and have seen Him. Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The most accurate revelation we have of God, that which enables us to see the very character of God fleshed out, doesn't come through creation or even through the special revelation of the Old Testament. The most perfect revelation of God comes through the person of Jesus Christ. And that's the work that Jesus acknowledges He's accomplishing in the prayer of John chapter 17. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. For Jesus to say that He has declared the name of God and will declare it is just another way of saying that Jesus is revealing God to us. As we've talked about before, names are significant in the Bible. They tell us something about the person bearing the name. God is given a number of names in the Old Testament. I shared many of those names with you last week. El Olam, which means God the Eternal One. El Barith, God of the Covenant. El Roi, God who sees me. Yahweh Jireh, the Lord will provide. Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace. Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord Almighty. All of these names reveal different aspects of God's character, yet Jesus has fleshed out that character for us. That's what John means when he tells us the Word became flesh. Through his life, Jesus is revealing God to us. He is declaring the name of God and will declare it, Jesus says. So why does he say, will declare it? It's because the greatest revelation to what God is like was yet to come in the life of Jesus. And that's because on this night, when he prays this prayer, the cross is still ahead. And the cross reveals more to us about the heart of God. The cross helps us to get to know God better than any other single revelation in the history of the world. In fact, so pivotal was the cross to the purpose of Jesus that Jesus himself said this in John 12:27 as he approached that event. Now my soul is troubled. He says this as he's nearing the agony of the cross. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. For this purpose I came to this hour. Jesus Christ came into the world for the purpose of the cross. That's how pivotal the cross was. Because we would never have known God. We would have never have been able to call Him friend. We would never have known what it means for God to be love apart from the cross. Jesus told His followers in John chapter 15, verse 13, no man has any greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And so Jesus laid down his life. The greatest of all love required that. For us to see that God is love required that. So when God sought to reveal himself to us, to let us know him as a God of love, to let us know that God is love, he didn't just stop with creation or with a special revelation of the Old Testament. He fleshed out love for us in the person of his Son. Here is how the love of God was manifested toward us, the Apostle John writes in 1 John 4:9, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. And so that's why Jesus says in John 17:26 that He has declared the name of God to us and will declare it. It's because the cross was still in front of Him, and the cross was the greatest single revelation as to who God is. The cross is the greatest single revelation as to who God is that the world has ever known. And then we get to the really mind-blowing part of this prayer. Look again at what Jesus says. John 17, verses 25 and 26. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Now I want you to listen to the last part of that verse again. Because if you don't see what Jesus is asking for here, you're going to miss a phenomenal prayer request. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them. and I in them. Now that's mind-blowing. And if you don't think it is mind-blowing, you haven't really understood what Jesus is asking for here. Jesus is asking that the same love which God the Father has for the Son would be in you and me. That the love with which you loved me, Jesus prays, may be in them. Jesus is the most perfect revelation of God the world has ever known. He is a more perfect revelation than creation. He is a more perfect revelation than the special revelation of the Old Testament. And the reason God came down in the person of the Son to live among us as one of us, the reason that He gave His life on the cross to pay for our sins was so that we might have a relationship with God. So that we might know God. So that we might love God. So that we might grow into and participate in the agape love that the triune God has always known. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Let's pray. I want you to take a few moments and to thank God for the magnitude of His love, for how much He loves you and all that He has done for you. To think that heaven actually came down to earth in order that you might know God. There is no better declaration as to who God is than we have lived out in the life of Jesus Christ. There is no act that evidences His love more supremely than the cross. It is through the cross that we know we have a God who is love. It is through the cross that we have been invited to participate in that love. While you're thanking God for the love that He's shown you, if you're a believer here this morning, maybe there are some here today who haven't yet come to that place of trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Jesus Himself said it in one of the passages I read to you earlier, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And that's because of Jesus' sinless sacrifice. That sacrifice paid for your sins in order that you might find forgiveness and cleansing and have a relationship with the Holy God. And it is that sacrifice, your faith in that sacrifice, that is the only means of having that relationship. And so if you're here this morning and you're not sure where you stand with God, but you would like to be sure, you'd like to have that relationship that begins now, that will continue on in this world and then on into eternity once this life for you is over. If you want that relationship, then all that's necessary, first of all, is that you acknowledge your need of that relationship. That you have sinned, that you stand in need of forgiveness. And then you need to acknowledge that Jesus is the means of that relationship through His sinless sacrifice on the cross and the triumph of His resurrection. And then finally, you simply need to receive that gift that's offered through Jesus. If you're here this morning and you'd like to do that, now's your opportunity. All you need to do is raise your hand. I will lead you in a prayer of commitment. I'll pray the words aloud, and you can repeat them silently to God right where you are. All you need to do is raise your hand. Father God, thank you is really not adequate to acknowledge the appreciation we have for the gift of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that our lives would be lived as an expression of that thankfulness. That we would have the attitude of the Apostle Paul, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I pray, Lord, that our life would be an expression of thanksgiving to you for the greatness of your mercy and your love and the gift of Jesus. And Father, I pray that we would be faithful to take the good news of that gift out into the world. That we would be the vessels through which the message of the love of God poured out on the cross, validated by the resurrection, would go out to men and women that they might know Christ, that they might know you, Heavenly Father. And have the very presence of the Holy Spirit to come to live within them. Father, I pray for your blessing upon those who are gathered here today. I pray, Father, for any who may be lost, that they would be saved. That you would help them to come to that place of being willing to humble themselves and admit their need of a Savior and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ as that Savior. And I pray for those of us who are believers, Father, that you would strengthen our faith, that you'd help us to turn away from sin, that you'd help us to seek to do good and to be vessels of good in the world. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would like to know more about us, you can find us on the web at wpbcmd.org. And on Facebook at White Plains Baptist Church 1978.